say right now, I'm sure that we won't agree on everything, but I'm really glad that he's going to be here. Yeah, I'm glad he's here.
We have four.
So this must be it. Because
you're not getting any more.
Yeah, okay.
This is as good as it gets.
All
right, well, then I guess let's just call to order the June 26th meeting of the Curriculum Design Review Board. We have roll call.
Carter Bagg.
Here.
Brian Berg.
Here.
Steve Cox.
Here.
Paul Duffy. Todd Kilburn. Kevin Oremus.
Here.
Eric Shields. Phyllis Warman.
In our packets, we have a couple collections of minutes from the May 1st and 15th meetings. I'd like to include those if possible.
I think they look fine. I would like so moved to approve as read or as noted.
I'll second.
Any objection? Hearing none, minutes are approved. At this time, we can take any comment or requests from the public not dealing with the project that's on the agenda tonight. So any discussion or any subject for the board that doesn't deal with the 424 Central Way project? Okay. In that case, we'll move on to unfinished business, which is the 424 Central Way project. Continuation of the Design Response Conference. We're going to try a slightly amended format, something that we discussed last time, and see how this works, where we'll have about 5 minutes for the city, the person tonight, Evangelo Ruggieri, to outline the city's position on the project and the issues as staff sees them. And then about 20 minutes for the applicant to present to make their presentation, your design, landscape, site plan, whatever issues that you have to get through. At the end of that 20 minutes, we will ask questions. We will no doubt have questions, and so I'd like to give the board about 15 minutes then to have a question and answer conversation with the applicant. Sort out anything you want. At that point, the applicant's portion of the presentation is over, and we'll just deliberate and discuss and try to make recommendations. And I think it's our hope that by being sort of compartmentalized with our time, that we don't get quite as much caught up in dialogue and back and forth, but at the end of the meeting, our recommendations are clearer, and we're able to give better direction to our applicant. So we're going to try that, and fire away.
Okay. So just a reminder of what we've done already with this project. We had the beginning of the Design Response Conference on May 1st, and it was continued to tonight. Because of the fact that you felt you needed more information in order to make a decision on this project, the applicant's asking for a setback modification, and one of the criteria for that is that there be superior design, and you felt at the last meeting that the plans that they showed you did not represent the superior design. Therefore, you wanted to see more and see some changes before you would go forward with that request. And just to remind you of some of the comments you made at the last meeting, things that you asked the applicant to look at. One was you did ask them to move the building, to switch it to the east side of the site, and they were agreeing with that at the time, that they also thought that was a good idea. You wanted the building to be simplified, felt that it needed to have more of a clear message than it did when you had seen their previous plan, and also asked them to look at other multi-use buildings in the area, come up with some ideas that would fit more with those well-designed buildings, mainly in the downtown, but other areas too. You talked about the bump out for the elevator, and I think they have reduced that bump out. I think you were uncomfortable with that. It felt kind of like it was floating out there. They have reduced it in their new plan. Wanted more of a response to the surroundings and more work on the color and materials. So they have come back with a revised plan, And one thing that staff came up with in looking at that plan is that it was over the height limit. And so we asked them to bring tonight, I know you've asked to see all their plans in advance, but in this case, because we knew they were over the height limit, we felt like it was, they needed to show that they could present a building that looked basically like what they had proposed, but that was within the height limit. So I'm thinking that they're going to show you that tonight, too, and that will be something new that you haven't seen already. Parking was another issue, and although you don't make a decision on that, you know, they need to meet the parking requirements. So they have reduced the amount of commercial space, increased the amount of residential space in order to meet the city's requirements. And I would say that's about it for me, unless you have questions.
Okay, I just have one clarification. I did neglect to mention that the other stakeholder is, of course, public, and if there is anybody here that wants to make a comment to this project, after the Q&A portion with the applicant, there will be an opportunity to take comment that'll help us prior to our discussion of the project. That being said, it's the applicant's time.
You're right on time.
Back up here doing my favorite thing in the world. What we're doing is addressing the six or seven comments that Angela just went over. And beginning with flipping the building, in the old scheme, here's Central Way. In the old scheme, we're along the west property line. So now we've taken the building, flipped it, put the one-hour wall right on the property line on the east. And that has had a good effect from our standpoint for views, exposure to Peter Kirk Park, to the downtown Kirkland area. It's beneficial because, again, this is our blank wall. We've got Crab Cracker Restaurant. They're back of sidewalk here, about 14 feet away. So on approach on Central Way, you know, there's a little bit of screening taking place. This facade right here. Crab Cracker would be, in profile, would be approximately the higher part of the building is about 15 feet high, so it would extend past our
second floor level.
So also there's quite a bit of landscaping right on the Crab Cracker property line. There's 20 or so of these evergreen, I don't know what they are exactly, but a columnar type evergreen that that would also screen the building a little bit more. So that was the first thing we did. The other comment that Angela just mentioned was simplification of the facade. The old design, there were a lot of elements that sort of did detract a little bit from the overall. You know, because of the size of the building, there were smaller parts like broken up pipe railing and interrupted parapet, and some of those things were taken out and improved. We've, in favor or in place of the pipe rail, all of the guardrails now are a glass storefront guardrail. And that's created kind of a unification with the storefronts. Commercial storefront, then the office storefront on the second level. And that storefront theme is carried up now into the guardrail area. So that was one way of simplifying and unifying the facade. I could read my notes here to see what else we did. Did everyone have an opportunity to read the written response? I wrote a bunch of comments, but we took
we had vertical
window trim. This relates also to the residential appearance comment, but we took vertical window trim off of all of the windows that was there before.
We recessed the windows a little bit so that the stucco now wraps back to the storefront. So now there's more of the building color. I think that would have an effect of simplifying the facade. Angela mentioned that we made the bay a little bit smaller.
And there was a larger penthouse element that we gave up in favor of just using the stair overrun as the penthouse. So we have one less roof element. So those are the main moves we made in terms of simplifying the facade. Context was also commented on that. Two things. First of all, it should reflect the some of the character of the better more well-designed mixed-use downtown buildings, and then also relate a little bit better to its neighbors. And the context that we're in right here on this lot with the Shell station, it's a little bit tough. Our neighbor to the west is it's a canopy, gas pumps, and then the convenience store set back about 25 feet from the property line. Bright yellow, Shell type graphics. Not that easy really to sort of incorporate or relate to. I think just moving the building away from that gas station helped contextually, because now there's 20 feet between the two buildings. Well, actually more than that, because there's a driveway also separating our property from the Shell station. So there's about a 35-foot offset. I don't think we really want to pick up the character of the Shell station and sort of reflect it.
Crab Cracker.
This is a stucco portion, and it has kind of a wood siding, red trim, and then this fabric blue awning. And again, they're about 14 feet from the property line. And if you look at this right here, this is the gray tone of the location.
I think some of our lighter trim will pick up their building color, and especially if we went with a kind of a red orange color. I know that's, they don't have a lot of it, but that is their accent color.
But again, we're looking at a kind of a faux, almost like an Old West little street front facade, and it's not really something I think we would pick up and relate to in terms of the appearance of the building. Contextually, there were several buildings downtown that we thought were successful, and that a good mixed-use building could pick up some of those elements. And Dan, maybe we could look at First and Central. That building right there, first of all, the color is actually red-orange. It's quite washed out in this photograph, but that's one thing, the color. But what's noticeable about this one that I think we successfully incorporated is the structure. You can see the kind of post and beam sense that you have from it. And then the windows and the decks and the other walls become infill. So to accomplish that, in this design, the walls in front were actually made thinner so that you have basically a two-story frame.
Sorry, I'm going to cue with the lights here for a minute.
If we dim the lights, we can see the color perhaps
yeah.
a little better.
Yeah, maybe. But.
Going off was good, too. Serious.
Tired?
No, I'm not tired, but I think I had a better shot of the colors. Yeah.
It starts to look a little more red. It's quite a bit brighter than in the photograph.
I would say it matches color of the one that you have, the first sample you have.
Yeah, except probably it's maybe a little more red, not quite as orange.
Yeah.
But mainly, I think, beside the color, it's a clear expression of post and beam design, and especially as you turn the corner and walk along the street front, they have glass infill between the posts and beams, and I think we've done that fairly successfully. Like I said, we narrowed down the columns in the front of our building on Central, and why don't you go ahead and go to the Windermere. Here again, another example. I think you can again a clear expression of post and beam. I mean that's how I look at it. And the glass becomes infill. That creates your storefront. That creates your office window. Your deck module. It's all sort of governed by the sense of a strong corner of a 2 foot wide column, basically. This Windermere building also is a good example of the glass guardrail I was referring to a minute ago. You can see how it reflects the storefront and picks up the kind of that commercial feel. It definitely, from our point of view, to go from a pipe rail to a glass guardrail, it's a considerable upgrade in terms of cost, but it really does. I think it really does simplify the facade. It also, another of the comments, to make the building more commercial and less residential looking, it certainly does that. Do you have that gray one with the kind of tilted up awnings? Can you find that? There, that one. Another, I mean, this is maybe a less successful example just in terms of human scale and just feeling kind of a comfortable pedestrian kind of appearing building. But once again, it's the articulation of post and beam and structure and infill, glass and storefront as infill. I think that's a successful design approach, and that's what we tried to incorporate in this design revision. I think that's pretty much it as far as context. I mean, there are other elements that we've also included. The darker metal awnings were similar to this particular structure. I'm noticing they have a translucent awning. We're also proposing a translucent awning so, that they wouldn't darken the window frames. We are also proposing stone at base. I mean, not much has changed in that regard. Probably the two colors we've selected are kind of a warm gray, a beige gray, and then just a kind of an off-white. So there might be some similarity to the color of this once you had the range. It's kind of the gray there behind the honey bucket and the dumpster. The other thing I'm noticing here, we also have proposed sidewalk planters at each column. I think it's a nice punctuation for each column. You'll see it in the landscape plan. It shows a round, it'd be like a half sphere type planter. They would have to be hand watered, and I think they're called out with a small evergreen that grows to about 4 or 5 feet in perennials, that kind of thing. But I think that's a nice pedestrian amenity. And again, I like it in the location of the structure because it punctuates the structure of the building and sort of draws your attention to the storefront where you where, you know, you want to look. That's, again, that's the idea of the storefront. So, well, I can't read my notes.
Sorry.
No, that's a question about the is there. Very, very simple. We had that bump out basically to create an atrium and kind of have this as a night feature or even a daytime feature with the stair going behind it. And as a result, yeah, I think it did cantilever a little too far for the mass of the bay. And so we brought it in to 16 inches from about 3 feet. The parapet has been lowered. Just talk about that briefly. As Angela mentioned, yes, you're allowed a 4-foot parapet, but they have to average 2 feet. So, you know, to preserve the that structural post and beam feel that I've been trying to explain here. I mean, basically, it's this is the structural grid, and then the glass infill to keep the proportion. We still need to have this much building color here, and also here, same thing. You can see how that kind of we're trying to create that pattern. Well, if we drop this too far, then this is going to look, you know, that'll lower the parapet, and you'll lose the sense of that as being a frame. So we kept all of this at the same height and used the stair pop-up as a sort of a delineation between the residential area, which this is residential on the second and third floor, and the office areas in the front, which is appropriate in terms of zoning. And then just drop this down to a 6-inch parapet and go ahead and imply the same cornice. It's just down the building a little bit. And at the end of the day, that creates a nice articulation in terms of massing on the west elevation, but also on the east elevation, where, I mean, you can visualize that this is straight across. Again, it's a lot more bulky looking. So it actually adds something to the, I think it adds something to the east and west facades to go ahead and drop this down. On the north elevation, you know, I don't think it's, you know, it's a great enhancement in terms of not having a parapet there now, but it's facing north. I guess it would have less building presence. So from a residential standpoint, maybe that's an improvement also. Some of the other changes we made on this elevation, on the east elevation, we had trellis before, but we shortened the building 6 inches so we could go ahead and provide, you know, I guess we're assuming that we'll be able to get in there and plant and water, but the landscape architect called out wisteria here, and we could have a trellis effect, which actually goes very, very well with Crab Cracker. They have a trellis, kind of a red trellis grid also on their east elevation. And again, we're proposing the same guardrail detail facing east. This again would be in that 20-foot setback area where we're requesting the departure. I think in terms of the departure, I think the easiest way to visualize what this would look like without it would be just a, you know, in your mind or literally put a piece of paper across the building from about here back to the this first pop-up, and then you'll kind of get an idea of how the massing would work. This basically would slide back that same distance. We're going to have to come back about to this dimension line to make up the square footage. And I guess, you know, once again, it's a question of what you think, you know, is better in terms of composition. I think the building being, you know, 30 feet wide, or 29.6 now, because we gave up that 6 inches, and one story, I think it's just too small. It's too minor of a statement. I think it becomes almost inconsequential. It's a design opportunity lost. I think the building would basically, I don't know, the it would be noticed, but I don't think it would be as noticed or, you know, as attractive. Certainly not for the for the client, and I don't think for the streetscape either. We had other examples in the we had other photographs around town of the juxtaposition of juxtaposition of a two-story and a one-story. I mean, you can picture what it would look like if they were both two-story. It's just kind of a continuation of the same thing, or one-story, for that matter. I think the two-story and one-story together create a little more visual interest, and I think it looks more spontaneous, like development occurred, you know, as it normally does at different points in time with different needs, and so I don't think it's incongruent around downtown to have a two-story and a one-story. In this case, I'm talking about the Crab Cracker being adjacent, and this being a two-story facade. I don't think that's an incompatible relationship. I think it actually adds something to the streetscape in terms of pedestrian interest and so on. So that that relates back to our setback request. I think I've really gone over materials. The main change in materials, the guardrail. We certainly put a lot more work into the east elevation. We've emphasized the storefronts. We've added a foot. That was another response to the request to make it look more commercial and have that kind of storefront quality. We went from 13 feet to 14 feet, so we added a foot to the actual glazing area. And again, we removed the vertical trim around the storefront, which did actually have a residential character to it. So now the stucco walls return directly to the storefront. It's a much cleaner look, much more commercial also looking. On the upper floor, on the third floor, we added awnings above the residential windows. Those are the same color as the trim. And again, it's kind of a commercial gesture, much less than residential. Typically, you don't see awnings on a residential building. Also, these windows, even though this is the residential portion of the building, have been kept similar to the office portion, so there's a certain continuity and also, again, a commercial feel even on the northerly part of the structure. From a parking standpoint, the fact that this is now zoned, basically everything from the stairway north this way, is residential on the second and third floor, and everything from the stairway south is commercial. And that's now reflected in the parapet height. There's a certain consistency there. And
okay.
From a parking standpoint, we're required to have 3 stalls, 2 for the 2-bedroom and 1 for the studio, and then 1,750 gross square feet of commercial, which would be the ground floor and, again, the south portion of the second floor, south of the stairs.
about all I have.
Okay, well that's pretty good for time too. So I guess we'll just work our way through the board and see if anybody has any questions.
I have some questions. I took a trip to the site to just to check to see what was represented versus what I saw. And there's some things that may be missing on the site that I'd like to talk about. Maybe I guess we're not. This is not a question and answer for our applicant. These are just. Is this right, Steve? Can we ask for some clarifications, perhaps, or can I tell you what I found and just keep on going? Or I'll just keep on going.
Yeah, I think this is just for questions. For if there's anything that we need further in order to clarify our understanding of the project.
Well, what I noticed was that the project is represented as a flat site. And reality is that there's about 3 feet of grade here, which is high right to the edge of the property line, and then it dips immediately down. And then it's flat across here until it gets to the property line of the gas station and drops another 2 feet. Now, the issues that presents is on the sidewalk. When you come to the sidewalk area, I would hope that we would consider how someone could walk down Central Way. Are we going to engage stairs? And if so, we need to talk about that on both sides. And the other thing is that a little disappointment on my behalf, I heard last time that the city was going to take away all those power poles in front of the site. That was part of the street improvements. And with great regret, there's a power pole right smack in the middle of the sidewalk. Which makes negotiating a little different. It's right here exactly on the corner, on our applicant's corner of the south and east corner. In observing the crab cracker and the location of the property line and where this pole was, it appeared to me that the sidewalk was at best 5 feet, maybe 6 feet wide. And I didn't have scales. It looked narrow to me because with the pole right in the center, I was thought to myself, if there's a building right here in the line of the crab cracker, how am I going to negotiate it? And, you know, it looked like about 3 feet across. So a question maybe, Jeremy, you can help us find out is if that is indeed the pole going to come out. And if the pole remains, then I think that we probably need to show it on the site plan, figure on how we're going to negotiate, you know, get down from one grade to another grade, and then go through the site.
I think I know the answer. Ah. Having gotten into undergrounding utilities on Northeast 85th.
Yes.
And we discussed this, and I think the answer is they are being undergrounded. The underground is not energized yet, so the pole's there. So underground is energized.
And then it comes out. It will truly come out.
That's okay.
Yeah, the only reason I could think why it would stay is either that or if it's serving something, but as my understanding was that they're making all the connections to the existing businesses, so I'd be surprised if it's permanent, but we'll check it out.
Okay.
I was told a light pole would go back in right there, but the power utility pole was taken out.
Well, I would ask that we show the sidewalk improvements that shows the pedestrian access along Central Way, how you negotiate the grade and going across. Also, something that's not shown on the drawings is a transformer vault, which I believe the sidewalk would miss. Something you might want to take a look at. And also, I am skeptical about whether we can keep, there's some columnar trees or cedar trees that are on the Crab Tracker property. Looks like
right.
might even be on your property. They're right on the line. They're on the right as the grade drops down 3 feet. And so this property appears to be, this building appears to be very, very close to the property. And if you took the distance between where the asphalt stops at the crab cracker and where your building begins, it's probably not more than a foot, which I don't think we're going to get any trees along that side. So I'm suspicious of these trees. I'm suspicious that the columnar trees will probably be lost. And I would like to see a site plan that shows the tree grading for this tree that's in the front, because I don't know if there's enough space there. Another question that I had was on site drainage. It appeared to me that one of the options that you would have would be to put some kind of retaining wall between you and the gas station, or that you allow the water to swale over to them, but I just had a question on how you were going to do that, because everybody else is higher than you, and so you get to get all that water that comes down. So the question is, you know, maybe that's a small issue, but are you capturing the water on your side, or is it going
I'm sure we're going to be, I think we're above a certain square footage. We'll have to have detention, and
okay.
You know, we'll probably have a CMP vault.
Or it's small enough for it goes into a catch basin, but you know, that's all part of that thing about how do you negotiate those contours, because you're on a, it's not exactly flat. One of the examples that you showed as an example of good architecture was one of the buildings that had a cowl wall kind of awning. And I noticed in the text you were talking about a plexiglass awning.
A clear awning.
A clear.
Or it could be a frosted. Cowl wall is certainly an option.
That, as you walk down Central Way, there's two or three examples of other projects that use the cowl wall. And I know we can't be prescriptive, but what I'd like to do is to say that if you did go that way, I think you would tie in more with the other buildings, and would, I think it would make it stronger. And I also think that the rhythms of a cowl wall almost look like they're working with the same kind of window breakup that you have. So, just as an example, you might look at that.
Yeah,
and
it's a good alternative.
And I think it would tie your building in more with the community, and I think it would help your cadence.
We're still on questions.
That's a question, yes. Consider. You might consider that.
We're still on questions.
Okay. Okay, that's it. I have no more questions.
Comments/questions?
Just questions.
We're just doing clarifying questions right now, and then I think we can spend some time discussing and talking about
Clarifying questions would be, it took me a while to realize that the landscape plan actually is the third floor plan, and you don't really have a setback, because I believe the issue came up last time, and you touched on it, but about where the wisteria you're going to have the roots.
Well, we held the building in 6 inches, so we gave up a half a foot. Basically, the building was 30 feet wide, now it's 29.6.
And your footing is going to be?
Well, it would have to be an L-shaped footing anyway.
So you
know what, though? I mean, you can't count on that. You'd have to have an easement and a good relationship with the neighbor Crab Cracker. So basically, the idea is to design the trellis to stand alone, and if they could cooperate, and it seems like it would be in the Crab Cracker's interest to want growies up on the trellis, that they would cooperate. But in any case, the root system would be on our property.
I have some concerns about this elevation in general, because the Crab Cracker has a higher center portion. According to this elevation, this part of the wall on up, which is a large blank area back here, it's kind of blank wall, which raises the question why are the different color schemes all rather monochromatic. The contrast between the different colors, for instance, in areas like this, and you talked about the relief between columns and beams and stuff like that. Almost all the same color. And it's a large expanse. And if I see this correctly, where's the height of the Crab Cracker? We're looking at this wall. If you recall the last time, we drew on the other side of the site, but it's going about, and I don't know if you've done this time, where you have the perspective slide of how this looked behind the gas station, but the same sort of, how does this look behind the Crab Cracker? How much of this, if I would use the negative term, looms over it? How much of this is above it? How much of it is below? Or is it a major concern?
So your question is, can we cut some color into the...
Well, the first question is, how much of the volume of this, at least just on this plane elevation, rather blank wall, is looming over the top of the Crab Cracker as you come down center?
I don't know the exact height of the Crab Cracker. It's a few feet under the allowed, you know, we could make it taller, but in fact, we were asked to make it taller.
Is that a concern that wall's rather...
Yeah, well, there's sort of an ambivalence or something. I mean, to look more commercial, we were asked to increase the storefront height. On the other hand, there's a concern that it might look a little too tall, or I don't know, I guess limb is the word used, but we could definitely cut color into the, if that was the question.
I think if we're still into the issue of questions and not clarification, and we try to live by our own rules for a second, the question is about how high is the standard parapet height on the east elevation above the crab cracker. If you said the crab cracker was in the neighborhood of 16, 17 feet high or 15, is that...
I think that's reasonable. Like he was saying, the center portion steps out, but the lower portion is closer.
And your building is about how high? 35 feet?
You've got 40. Well, this is 30. It's 25 to the second floor line and 34, and then we have
25.
We have a.
This is 34.
We have a 4 foot parapet in the front, linking at 38.
So
and then in the south, in the north end, it would be.
This is 34 by
closer to 35.
So it's about twice the height of the crab cracker.
And it's about a 40-foot expanse there with no...
The maximum height is 40. I think it's approximately 38, maybe the top of cornice, just in that stepped-up portion. And again, that's a design move. It could actually be 3 feet lower. But I think you give up... A lot of character.
The crab cracker is sitting on ground that's 3 feet higher.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the question.
Plus the...
Again, the crab cracker is a one-story building. It's an old building. It's not... It doesn't reflect the height of the next building that would likely take place on that site if it would happen.
True.
The site is landscaped. So I think the question is about how much that building is hanging out above the crab cracker. It sounds like we're reasonably close to the answer.
Are these lights constant?
Yeah. We have kind of a shell-shaped exterior wall mount sconce around the three sides, basically.
Those are my questions.
The color scheme, are you still... You've got three options up there?
Yeah, they're represented pretty well in the color board.
Are you favoring one over another?
Well, if I was completely courageous, I would encourage the client to consider the red, orange color of the first and central building. I actually like that. It's bright. And he and I were just talking, and he said, well, maybe you take that color, but you drop it down a shade, which is alternate number two here. But I think from a design standpoint, it's also fair to mention that the Terra apartments, being red-orange brick, very similar color to the first and main one, just because of the nature of the brick. And it's almost like an equal interval from Terra to this one to First Street. There is precedent for the red orange color. The kind of beige is, I mean, it can be more Bellevue beige if that's what everyone wants, but it's really not number one choice. We prefer to. It's a boutique, and I think it can look fresh and lively and inviting and feel that way on the client's behalf. The building has become much more clean. I think the articulation is better. I think the color now can be a little bit more distinct, and the building can carry it off. The comment that you could introduce color is a good one. We might be able to do that in ways to break up the north and south. I completely should have referred you to the upper right-hand corner when you were asking about the crab cracker. That first step is about 10 feet, and it looks like it steps up about 5 feet, and then 2 feet to the top pediment element there. That's that truck right there gives you a good idea of scale, or that doorway. That would be a 7-foot door.
So do I take it you're still undecided as far as...
Answering your question, I'd like, personally, I think the owner, and my preference is, it's maybe between these two colors. It may not be quite this bright. But this is definitely the color I favor. But it might be a step down. That's why we have the second lighter shade.
And we talked last time about signage, and you show a sign up on the, I assume the steel canopy.
Yeah. Dan, could you try the Windermere picture? It actually was exactly what I was describing last time without, right there. You take a, that looks like about a 14-inch.
But yours has neon?
I would say at night it's going to need something, yeah. It's from a commercial standpoint, you just follow the stroke. It doesn't, I mean, we wouldn't want red. It's not going to fight the building color. It might be white.
And you've got it on just the south elevation there.
That would be my thinking, yeah. Unless the owner were to rent the second floor, and that isn't his plan, but then there might possibly be occasion for a tenant signage on the west elevation closer to the corner. We'd want to reserve that possibility. Like Windermere did, they have Windermere on the front. I don't know where right now, but it's kind of dark, but there's additional signage right on the front of the awning also.
And I think I just have one or two questions. Is this your landscape architect here?
No, I talked to him. I can tell you every plant. I don't know the botanical names, but the woman that was so interested in that is, okay, I'll figure out what each one is and be able to answer the question.
She's more interested in it than we are. So
yeah, we've got a red maple street tree. We've got a Japanese maple in the back. We've got an evergreen 2 to 3 foot high ground cover in that back planter area.
I can show you.
And you've got wisteria in that 6-inch gap growing on that thermal element.
Well, in your landscape plan in that set shows it, but that's correct.
Well,
as long as we have some cooperation from the neighbor to plant it and water it.
It says vines, so the neighbor has to plant it and water it.
No, he has to agree that we can plant it and water it. And
so it's on his property.
No, it's on our property. We held the building back 6 inches.
And you're confident that you can get that land, given the fact that he has the right to.
He has the right to say. He has the right to say no. We can't walk on. We can't walk on his property. I don't think he would because
he has the right to pay to his property. So, in 6 inches, you can get the landscaping necessary to acquire that trellis.
Yes, absolutely. The wisteria vine is just they're very fast growing, relatively thin vine. I don't know that much about the root structure, but. I did ask that question of Ken Loney specifically. We went over
one other.
Any irrigation?
I asked him that question too. He said, "Yeah, I'd probably recommend." He said, "You can just put a drip line along that 6 inches." He said that would be no problem. You go ahead and the pots are going to need to be hand watered, and there's precedent for that. There's the Windermere doesn't appear to have any, but perennials and that kind of thing.
No, I know there are pots all around town, but if vines acquiring that trellis is an important component of your design, and I think it is, and I think it's a real positive for your building, and we want to make sure it works. So I think we want the highest assurance that there's enough room for that planting to work.
There is.
That their irrigation is there to support it, and that the details. Are consistent with good practice. So that's all I'm asking.
Yeah.
If they're not here tonight, then I guess we'll try to deal with our questions of the landscapers in another way.
Well, I thought because there's such minimal landscaping that I could handle the questions. I know from the point of view of the root structure. 6 inches by 8 deep, it's going to be fine for wisteria. I've pulled it up before. It's a fairly lightweight vine. And it would do just fine. It's,
and once we get it established, you know, basically it would be self-irrigated, but the there would be times when we want to maintain it, and that would require the crab crackers' cooperation, which you'd think that you shouldn't have to make trouble with.
I would hint.
No, it would be in their interest. So,
okay.
Yeah, okay. We talked about that planner a little bit, and then what the other gentleman was saying is the landscape plan up on the deck, again on the corner facing Crab Cracker. We have a 30-inch, a 24-inch, and an 18-inch pot, and the 30-inch has like a 6 or 7 foot high. I think he called out an Italian cypress. It grows about 6 or 7 feet. It's a columnar evergreen, and then the other two would have perennials in it, and they would be, you know, they would be visible through the guardrail, similar guardrail to that. The Windermere detail.
On the east elevation of the building, the blank wall, those two lights toward the back of the building.
These. Yeah.
Those two?
Yeah.
Right against somebody else's property. What do those light up? What do those illuminate?
The building. I mean, basically it's...
Can you live without them?
Absolutely. It's a detail that we... You know, you can see on the Windermere building, it's a punctuation, just like the planters are on the sidewalk.
That's not a public way. This is just light, creating light right on somebody else's property line.
That's true. Well, there's a road there. It's there. I think it's there where they get their garbage. They collect their garbage there.
Okay. I mean, it's lighting up somebody else's garbage road. If they want to light their garbage road, they'll put lights on.
No, I have no problem.
To me,
at all.
It's kind of a light off your property line.
I have
questions?
No
questions?
Problem losing
questions?
Those.
We're on questions?
No, I'm just asking if you could live without it.
See, yeah, there's the road right there. That
all right. I guess if we're done with questions.
No, I think that's a good. I mean, we would be fine with
public
losing that. You know, there's the comment about the root system and which side they're on. That road is about 10 feet. I think we've got approximately 3 feet of planter right there before our property. I could be wrong. We need to get that staked, but we will do whatever we can from our point of view also to save those trees.
Okay. Thanks.
That's a good point.
Okay. I guess next up, the next stakeholder is folks. So anybody from the public that would like to comment on the project or give us something that'll you think will help our thought process as we discuss it. Welcome to speak up. I think we just ask that you give your name and address and speak into the microphone and so it goes on the record.
My name is Robert Pringle. I live at 602 Fifth Street, and I believe that I had the same concerns the last time we had the meeting, and that is the availability of the parking. I understand that because of reclassification, where we have an area that was changed from 600 to 1,000 square feet is now called a loft and less commercial structure, that the 8 parking stalls is going to be within the code. I know that you're looking at design and not so much the parking. But as I look at the overall design of the building, if we have a very, what I consider a very small lot, and a very large building, that's the design. I think that when you design something this big that just barely meets the qualifications for parking, we'll continue to see an increased parking in the surrounding area, and that's my concern. In checking with the neighbors, my understanding is that the Crab Cracker was contacted to see if they could park in their parking lot because they were concerned with availability of parking, and Crab Cracker told them no. So as such, it's a concern for them, at least it's enough of a concern to reach out to the neighbors. If the neighbors say no, then it puts it on the street, and that's my concern. Thank you.
I'm Dawn Malkowski. I live in the condo association, 602 Fifth Street as well. My concern is, my understanding is the crab cracker is about 17 to 20 feet high at the highest peak, and this building looks like it's going to be somewhere close to 40 feet high. That's really huge. It towers over that immensely. It's very definitely, I think, going to block a lot of people's view through there in those condos all along there on the first and second floors. It seems to me it's going to tower above that and just absolutely shroud the Shell station. The other question I have is what will be done if they go over the height limit, even if it's a foot or 3 feet? What happens at that point?
They can't.
They can't. What is that height limit? Because there's so many different... It looked like in there it was 34 feet. And then there's some... He's saying 35 feet, and then there's a 37 feet, and then there's a 40-foot height. What is the maximum height that it can be?
So there's the 34 feet for the building, but then they're right. allowed an additional amount for a parapet.
Right. That's
where the confusion that you were hearing comes in. So let's see. The parapet, the maximum height of the parapet can be 4 feet.
Right.
But it has to be an average of 2 feet. So, again, that's why the applicant is saying some parts of the parapet are higher, some are lower.
Right.
In order to reach that average of 2 feet.
Oh, okay. So they're averaging it.
Yeah. But they have to meet the code for the height. They can't go above that.
Okay. I mean, do you all have any feelings about it being that tall of a building in such an area where everything is much lower? Like the... Wells Fargo Bank is low. Crab Cracker is not terribly high. The Shell station is low. The other gas station is low. And then everything goes downhill from that.
Those smaller buildings, if those sites are redeveloped,
mm-hmm.
they're also allowed to go higher.
To go higher.
Because that's what the zoning code allows.
And then just one question. So I'm getting a visual for height. How tall do you know is Windermere, that building?
I have a course there. Or Kara also on 6. Kara?
Yeah.
Okay. As you come in.
Okay.
Another, I think, four stories. So at least 14 feet plus, they're at least 40 to 45 feet.
Okay.
Assuming average commercial.
Okay.
By way of scale, the Windermere building is actually 5 stories.
Mm-hmm. So
it's 52 feet plus that mansard roof it has is 5 feet. So it's about 57 total.
Kara might be taller than that too, because Kinko's that portion of the commercial is 2 stories.
Okay.
And then there's 4 levels of residential. That's probably just because of the way the site slopes.
Okay. Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay, well, I think basically that concludes your participation in this evening. Other than to listen, we're going to try and discuss the issues as we see them among ourselves and try and arrive at some recommendations or some conclusions. Is the applicant asking for approval at tonight's meeting?
I think they're hoping for approval, yeah.
One last thing, I'm sorry. We had an 8-foot setback on the top floor, it's now 10 feet. We reduced the third floor, or increased the third floor setback to 10 feet. Minor move. And if height is a concern, we'd be happy to go back to the first floor. And we'll take a foot out of here.
Okay. Well, what do we think? I think we can, sort of remember the usual suspects when it comes to the issues that we discuss on this thing. I think that the principal issues are very well summarized on page DR2 that the applicant gave us in terms of their response to their perception of our comments last time out. And I think the main questions we need to ask ourselves are one, does the setback departure itself result in superior design? In other words, do we agree with Dale about the proportions and the sort of the general proportion and feeling of that building as an urban element, as an appropriate urban scale, for at least that two-story frame across the front prior to the setback? And then do we feel that this building, as it's made design accommodations to our suggestions from last time, going in a nice direction, is approvable with conditions? Just to hear what you say.
I'll weigh in first. I do believe that seeing the building flipped, putting on the other side, on the east side of the block rather than the west side of the block, was an improvement. I think that it opened up a little bit of area between the gas station and looking out towards Peter Kirk Park and the view of the lake and the city. I think that's an improvement. I do like the idea about the building set back on the third floor, which will help mitigate the feeling of the height along Central Way, and I think that the applicant is going on the I think he's made the right moves as far as making modifications for the building. My concern is more related to, I went into further depth than the site detailing. I was more concerned about that, which maybe we'll talk about in the second go-around. But I think that the initial moves that they made and what we asked them to do, I think that they've responded well.
Well, I think your comments about needing or wanting to see the right-of-way improvements, the civil, I think prior to a comfortable approval or maybe as a condition of a final approval, I thought were great, because I do think there are a lot of unresolved issues on the site. I do think they're going to run into some grade issues that are going, the building is going to have to make some accommodation to those. I think, as Brian recognizes, and I think the right-of-way planning and more detail in the landscape and the irrigation and so forth, I think we're going to want to see that. So, I think we could make the grading, drainage, right-of-way improvements.
Landscape.
And the final landscape and irrigation plans conditions of approval if they were done in such a way that they allowed this design to what Dale's presented here to work or be stronger. So, but those are good points. That, we should at least condition
yes.
The approval on acceptance of those drawings.
Kevin, want
to weigh in? Well, I've had some concerns about the east wall, and contextually, exactly how high is the crab cracker? What does that look like? And again, the treatment of it. Really more from, not from any of those views, but what does it look like coming down Central Way?
Now, the last time we had a blank wall, it was just facing downtown. Right. Now it's facing you as you enter downtown.
Facing uptown.
Facing uptown. It's facing the service yard for a restaurant. And the open portion of the building is oriented to the park and to the downtown, and so I think Brian feels that that's stronger, and I guess I think most of us would probably agree. But so you have a concern about whether we have enough information
to know whether
that blank wall is a looming horrible thing.
Well,
you said looming.
I said looming. I didn't say horrible. But just again, because the last time when you did see that three-dimensional. Slide of what it looked like behind the gas station. Well, I'd like to see the equivalent, just to say, what does it look like behind the crab cracker? It's got to be better than it was the other way, but do we still an issue or not?
Now,
and then plus,
in order to sort of accommodate at least the front most visible portion of the building, about 24 feet back from the property line, they've set the building inboard, and they have these trellis elements, and they're just going to try and get something to. Some sort of green screen to acquire that wall and and fill it in. And I think that could be a positive gesture if it works.
Yeah, that's...
Does that go anywhere toward mitigating your concerns about that? Or?
It does. It's actually like the... Now, on this location, like when it was on the other side, the first floor trellises actually... Well, you need them to get the vine up because that would pretty much be screened by the crab. But it's got another 40 feet of building. That's maybe 20 to 24 feet above the crab. Maybe not.
It's difficult with infill sites when the other stuff on either side of them isn't there yet.
And it may not be. You're right. It may be somebody's... I mean, if it was the walk going back from Kinko's next to Acropolis Pizza in the future... Nor am I suggesting, nor is there opportunity for radical intervention of any kind, because you're right on the property line, and that's where you got to be. But there may be some treatments of, say, variations in color, or something they could perhaps do to address them.
So you're concerned that that blank wall is just a little static? Yeah. It's just too blank. Not enough articulation or richness of materials?
Well, if that is an issue because of how much it does, at least in its present context of being just a crab cracker, how much does it protrude above a crab cracker? Then does something need to be done about the vine? So I want to see some study. Context, what does it look like? From up the street, up Central Way, as you approach it, the building look like behind the crab cracker? What, if it, in the opinion of the architect, what kind of treatment may mitigate that?
That's, and that's an important issue.
Yeah.
For me, I'm trying to decide on the color and the rationale or the response to the color, and whether the building is a sufficient size and detail to hold another color as an accent color to help articulate some mass and scale. Maybe that would carry over to that facade you're talking about on the east side, but whether the applicant has explored the tower element on the west side as two shades off or a little bit of different color to break that up. It just, it's a pretty bold statement that runs around. They've got some nice overhanging balconies that will give a little shade and shadow and articulation there. Would that be picked up a little better with the accent color, whether it goes lighter or darker? Suggestion that may help in some of the...
That's more what I have in mind when I say color, a shade or a tone.
Yeah. I don't mind the boldness, I'm here kind of a thing, but
that whole blank wall of that building is about, I'm trying to get my arms around how big that is, but I think it's about wall to wall of this room, about 40 feet.
Which was kind of my first statement. You don't want to get too fussy on a little thing like that and throw a lot of small little gestures, and so I appreciate the the boldness or the uniformity of that, but I don't know. Well, throw that out to, because I'm wrestling with it. I'm on the fence.
I was wrestling with the same thing. It didn't sound like there was a lot of commitment on color. It seems like we've got a lot of choices. They're very aggressive, but it doesn't sound sound like they've exactly made up their mind and have solidified the rationale completely. So
some of that's probably my nervousness too, because I want to hear this is the color we're proposing and this is why and
this is why and boom. Yeah.
Like it or comment, but yeah.
I wasn't getting this sense of commitment either. I don't know quite exactly what to do with that.
Well, this is a great opportunity for Trump Loy. Trump Loy is a French term. It's trick of the eye. The Parisians addressed this many years ago when they had blank walls. They would paint windows and scapes on the side of the building. And you look at the building and say, oh, that's articulated. That's neat architecture. And you get up to it and it's just a flat wall. So,
or it would say Quaker Oats in giant letters on it, but the sign ordinance doesn't allow that.
Poulsbo's got it everywhere. I think, actually, if our applicant had given us a plan showing just exactly how that crab cracker building applies itself next to this building, you know, it's not very far away, and it's in the same plane. And it takes up a lot of the profile. When you're further away, it's hard to explain this, but when you're driving away, you think, oh, it's going to be this big shot of red, but there's a lot of landscaping along that
street. There is. You can see it.
And I'm not so sure it's going to be that big red barn that you're thinking about.
Well, that's my first question.
Is it going to look like a barn, you know, the side of a barn?
The context.
Like, yeah.
Just that we don't know.
We don't know. And looking at the elevation, the one in question, I think another trick of the eye is that that the trellis area is looking like it's white. In reality, that's going to be red, too, with just probably a little articulation between it. So I think it's going to look more red than not, quite frankly. I like the red. Personally, I think it needs a statement. A little building like that can carry off a strong color. And it ties in with the community, which is what I'm looking for, is how does this building relate to the other buildings along Central Way? And I think that it would be an appropriate color. I like the red, personally. It is a big blank wall, and gosh, it's just too bad if we could see that thing. I think that would have put our fears away. My thought is if the image was there for us to take a look at, to see the profile of the crab cracker right there, or a photograph down Central Way to see what that impact would be, I think it wouldn't be as big as what it is. That's my thought.
It reminds me of, we used to say this in school, you know, if you can't make it good, make it big. If you can't make it big, make it red. But that, maybe that doesn't apply.
Well, we could make it red.
For my money, I appreciate the design moves that the building has made since the last time. I think that the revision in the way the windows are detailed and articulated, the simplicity of the railings, the clarity of the frame expression, the stepping back from some of the protuberances, when the stair was sticking out 4 feet, now it's only out a foot and a half. I think it's pulled it more into line, it's cleaned it up, and I think it's been successful. So for my money, I think the building has gone a long way toward becoming a more urbane gesture as opposed to something that looked quite as much like a suburban house. So I support the choices that they've made with regard to those decisions. The little balconies at the back, the last thing that just absolutely drive me nuts. To me, they just don't fit in. If they were articulated like the marquee, you know, a clean metal line with a glass railing that sat on top, I could understand them. But this little wall hanging off the building, they don't help the proportions, they don't help the clarity of the box that is the building. And I really think those are kind of a mistake as they sit. But that's most of it as far as the architecture, I think. I think it's gone in some positive direction. What can we do for the, as we're running out of time, what can we do for the applicant tonight? Should we, I'm thinking, can we find a path that results in a conditional approval, or do we need to see more ammunition? I'm hearing both of you thinking that you'd like to see.
Well, first of all, let's talk about, I'm only narrowed down what the options are. I mean, the applicant, because they're so close to the property line, they're not going to get a window there because it's not allowed under the code. So you're not going to open it up with windows. You're not going to break it up with fenestrations. The only thing your options are either minor undulations in the wall, which may or may not give you shadow lines to see what you're wanting, or the application of color.
It's on an east side, so shadow lines are pretty much out of the question.
So I'm thinking that the options that they have are color, personally. And I'm thinking that we go forward and ask him for some options on what they can do to mitigate that east wall.
So you're recommending that we bring them back but constrain their design issue to
approved the approved with stipulations that they show us what they're going to do with the siding, okay, the landscape, and the east wall as far as using something to break up the monochromatic look.
You might give them the choice, or demonstrate through a contextual study that it's not an issue for the east wall.
Okay, so you support a conditional approval, and the condition being some additional study of the color and the continued development of the model, so that we can see the crab cracker, so that we can experience that in context as we're coming into town with the landscaping in place, so that we can really get a sense of whether or not it's as feared or as
feared. I'd like to ask, we can take a foot out of the second floor, we can take a foot out of the first floor, we can lower it 2 feet.
I personally don't support the idea of the foot. I think what you're getting for your commercial ground floor and the proportions of that are worth a foot. But a foot, frankly, isn't the difference maker. If it's above the crab cracker by 13 or 14 or 15 feet, the difference maker is does their landscaping work? Can your landscaping work? And does the building have enough color to balance, or enough detail or enough interest to balance its relative lack of articulation?
We are liking
the black wall.
We are liking color. Suggestions.
Right. Good. Very good. That another trellis be introduced right here, I don't think it serves much purpose because we're getting into the crab cracker area. But and then again, we're really pushing this color, but we're sort of between the lighter and darker.
And that's what we bring back. Your first choice.
And Does that make sense, Kevin? Is that a supportable position?
I think it is, yes. I think it's just focusing on, I think we're pretty much in agreement. It's a lot of improvement. Just focusing on the few things we see left. Concerns?
Okay, so Our conditions of approval, so we can get ready to frame this in context that's motionable, would be the right-of-way improvements,
mm-hmm,
landscape, plan final, civil, grading, drainage, that type of thing, to make sure that the design doesn't suffer as a result of those necessities.
Also the sidewalk and the grades, the contours, you know.
Yeah, that's
right,
yeah.
Part of the right-of-way improvements.
That's mm-hmm. The right-of-way.
Okay.
And the
landscape.
The landscape.
Got that.
I still have concerns about whether 6 inches is going to get it done, whether anything can be asked to survive, be irrigated, and really function in a 6-inch space. But if the landscape architect will warrant that, and we see details in the irrigation of it, then we have to hope that they're right, because I do think that's an important component of this design. I think that'll make it a make it a much better neighbor as we're coming down. And then to a study of the east facade, modeling it in relationship to the Crab Cracker and its current context, with some commitment on what exactly their colors are, where they are, what their rationale is. And then I think we'd like to, I'd like to delete the lights toward the back half of the building that are just light pollution and aren't contributing to a public space.
It's a dark alley. I could see it in there because it's a dark alley, and it just makes it one less dark alley that
sconces.
On their
a little bit of light.
On their building?
Yeah, it's a
let the alley light the alley. They're lighting something that's going to spill off their property. In general, that can't be a good thing.
What about the two balconies on the?
I would like to see the, personally, would like to see those redesigned so that they're less, so that they're more harmonious with the simplified box that we're seeing right now. So that their design is more consistent with the marquee and the glass railings that you have up at the front. Do you feel that that's important?
You're not saying eliminate.
I'm not saying eliminate them. I'm just saying that
the detail of
that right now is a little
more prominent,
little protruding stucco bumps. They're not doing much for them. They're really a distraction. And I think if they shared a design language with the marquees, little metal edge glass railing, I think they'd be less of a distraction.
Either way for me.
I think it's important, especially, you know, you've got neighbors behind, and I think that I don't think you want to forget that elevation.
Those are just too annoying.
It's not a big area.
So if those are our recommendations at this point, we'll hear a motion to accept subject to those conditions.
And my understanding is this would be to bring it back to the board prior to building permits.
Yes.
I'll make a recommendation to approve with the comments made.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thanks. Okay. Thank you.
Very good.
Anything else from anybody else? Thank you.
Do we have anything else on our agenda today?
One little thing. As you know, in my alternate time off, whenever that may be, I'm on the 85th Street Action Team. And Dennis Soloff was recruiting members because membership's been dropping off. And it has listed the Design Review Board is not interested in participating.
I thought you were.
Well, I am. Is that why you're not interested?
Well, we thought we were well represented.
The rest of the... So I don't know if you just want to say that you feel you're sufficiently represented and do not need to...
You're my voice.
Because officially I'm representing the South Rose Hill Bridal Trails Neighborhood Association and can't wear both hats, but just to say I suffice.
Thanks again.
Thank you. I can't think of a complaint that we've had about your representation. So,
underhanded compliment.
That was a left-handed guy. Anyway,
what are you asking? What do you want of us?
You want us to tell James Soloff to say it's not really that you're not interested. You feel, I would say, the Design Review Board feels they are sufficiently represented because a member is serving on that team on another capacity.
I think so. And to that effect, I think we should all be more involved in our community neighborhood groups. You know, I should attend the Moss Bay one and you live in North Kirk or
Everest.
Do you attend those meetings, those neighborhood meetings?
Depending, it depends on the food.
See, I think we to this effect.
Priority.
I think Carter, I think where this might be going is: are we also linked to the neighborhood? Are we accessible to people who also may want to say, "What's going on there?" You know, and can we, if we participate in our neighborhood groups, would that be an avenue for people to feel more grassrooted and talk about what's on their mind? That might be where she's coming from, and I'm thinking.
Well, she just sent it out, and it's old, and they're trying. Members have been dropping off.
Oh.
And if the document says Design Review Board, not interested. Now, to make you feel better, so the Senior Council, the Youth Council, and other groups replied similar. Just could have more positive.
Yeah, well, we could be better than not interested.
Because if you want to get into talking about underground utilities,
there's a lot of stuff there, huh?
The Downtown Action Team often asks if they talks about having a DRB member, so if anybody wants to get more interested.
The Downtown Action Group?
It's another opportunity for you.
When do they meet?
They meet quarterly.
Quarterly? Would it be possible that you send out a generic announcement to all of us, those who want to attend, and I'll see if I can do that?
Invite to join the membership or just to attend?
To attend a meeting is not, I don't know about joining a membership, but what do they call it, an ex officio member or something like that? Or is there a
factory.
Ex officio. Ex officio. I don't know,
send an email to the full group.
Yeah. Might not have good attendance when we have weather like today.
Yeah, that's a rough one. Although it's nice and cool out here.
Yeah.
Yes. I think July 10th meeting is looking like it's canceled. So.
Wasn't that Duffy's last stand, though?
That was Duffy's last stand.
Mm.
So this was Duffy's last stand.
Well, that was.
Should we have raise a beer for Duffy and invite him to a send-off party and wish him well in Bellevue?
I'd be willing to do that. I don't know why anybody would go to Bellevue beyond me, but
we could have a beer in Kirkland, you know. We don't have, last time we went into Bellevue to wish. We had a get-together in Bellevue, didn't we?
For
somebody
leaving, yeah. Kirkland is the place for that.
I think so. So we should.
That was Phyllis's idea.
Well, maybe we could throw it on Phyllis's lap. Let's send Phyllis a notice that we.
That's the chair's responsibility.
The chair does that, right?
Social
chairman. Right. So let's put it back on Phyllis and ask her to select a time that we can all come. Yeah. On a school night.
Her house, July 10th.
Yeah.
Absolutely perfect.
Can I have a motion?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, right here. Right. I think we should do that. And also, it might be nice if we... Is it official now that... Can we announce the name of the person taking Paul's place?
Well, here's the bureaucratic answer.
No.
The when council did the last round of interviews, they had an alternate... That was Jeff Bates.
Yes.
That if anybody resigned within some period of time, council would appoint them. And so Jeff Bates is the alternate. It goes back to council. There's a July meeting for the formal appointment. So he, in theory, should be seated in August.
Would it be inappropriate to invite Jeff to introduce him to the group at the same time? Maybe not. That's too much in one time. We need two parties, right? So we'll have... One goodbye for Paul and one hello for Jeff.
Yeah, I don't think, let's not muddy getting rid of Paul with Jeff.
Right. No, let's not.
Might scare him away.
Besides, it's an excuse for two.
That's right.
Yeah. I support that.
Okay. Yeah, we don't want to. Yeah. And that also should go to Phyllis.
It all goes to Phyllis.
You with a little
side note. See what happens when the chair misreads.
Yeah,
that's
right. Yeah, see what happens now. Yeah. So I guess...
This is a record, by the way.
An hour and a half. I will entertain that motion to...
I would like to go on record and say that this new approach was effective, and I think that we got all the points out we could on this project without making it any longer. I thought that it was a good shot.
Well, thanks. I'm not sure it saved us any time, to be honest with you, but I think we have a better chance of clarity of what our recommendations really are.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we get so caught up in a dialogue back and forth. I think it should be blue. I think it should be pink. I want it this way. And it's a conversation. It doesn't come across with the clarity of, I think it should be blue. Mm-hmm. So I think this offers us a better chance to sort of have all our deliberation nice and separate and be real clear about what the recommendations are. So I think if we can make that as clear as possible, we'll be serving them better.
I agree.
And hopefully that speeds things through the pipe.
I agree. There's not too many projects that you shouldn't be able to get through from a presenter's point, you know, in 30 minutes or less.
Well, and if they know they've got...
Because you've got to hit your high points and what's important.
And if they know they've got 25, 30 minutes to do it, then they'll organize themselves as such.
Yeah, yeah. They will fill the time allotted. Yeah.
That's one of the variations in the interest. That's good. I like it.
Well, I think we should hear a motion to abbreviate this one right about now.
So moved.
Second.
Third.
All in favor?
Aye.
Get out of here. Thanks.